and things that are going on in the community. So this is hopefully That's the good news.
Yeah. More morning shows always at 8 on 88.5 KRFY. And this is April 6th. And here's a little bit of weather before we get to our guests. You want to introduce our guests?
Yes, actually,
first.
Today we're going to be talking about economic development. We have with us Paul Cushy. He's the executive director of the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation. As well, we have Wally Jacobson. He's the executive director of the Panhandle Area Council. And Paul and Wally, just say hello so we get a fix on your names, on your voices.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Wally.
Hi, Wally.
Good morning, Chris and Susie. This is Paul.
And thank you for being here. We're going to be talking about economic development. Bonner County EDC has been very active, has kind of re-energized here recently, Paul, with your work. And Wally, of course, the Panhandle Area Council has played a very important role for many years in economic development for all five northern counties. So we're going to be talking about economic development, specific things that are going on in Sandpoint, and the subject in general.
That's always good to know how our community is growing in a good way with well thought out intention. And from the National Weather Service, currently it's around 40 degrees and it's a beautiful April 6th, Wednesday morning. We can expect a high of 64, partly sunny. With mild winds, 5 to 9 miles per hour. Tonight, low of 37. And tomorrow and Friday, listen to this, sunny, no partly cloudy, and highs of 72 on Thursday and 77 on Friday, and sunshine.
Yeah, that's practically summer right there.
Yeah,
it's going to be beautiful.
For whatever, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Also going on outside, sunrise this morning was at 6:12 a.m. Sunset tonight will be at 7:24 p.m. Now that we're past the spring solstice, the days are getting longer each day. And in the past week, we've gained 25 minutes of daylight each day. So it's incredible how the season is changing right now. New moon is tomorrow at 4:25 a.m. And then we're going to be approaching the first quarter with moon, which comes on Wednesday. At Schweitzer, it's their very last week, but they have good snow. I was up there this weekend, and the spring skiing was excellent. It was beautiful, sunny weather. Right now, it's 25 degrees on the summit. It's 35 degrees in the village. The snowpack's 107 inches at top, 85 inches mid-mountain. They actually got 2 inches of new snow on Monday night. And for their last weekend, they're having a big blowout party called the Spring Finale. There'll be pond skimming, cardboard box derby races, music, beer tasting. So if you're a skier, this is your last chance to get up there.
I know that with that good snow, we could say that this is a good year for skiing and that they did well.
Oh, it was a very good year for skiing.
Kind of make up for other years, maybe.
Yeah. Paul or Wally, are you guys skiers?
Yes, I am, but I didn't get up too much this year.
Okay.
I am not, but I get to watch it out my front door, basically.
Yeah, it was a good year for skiers. I have friends that are bragging about going 70 times. I have a friend that says he went 100 times this year.
Good heavens.
Yeah, I know.
I have a friend that skis 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Start to finish to the end of the season.
It's like work for him, except that's not really work.
Dedication, having fun.
Yeah. A couple more things about going on in town. It is spring, and one of the sure signs of spring is when the ospreys return. We have an osprey cam in Sandpoint, and the first osprey was spotted at the webcam at the nest platform on Sunday. So
busy building a nest?
They kind of hang out for a while, and then they kind of get started when the biological urgency starts hitting them to lay eggs, I think. But you can see the ospreys at sandpointospreys.com or sandpointonline.com/ospreys. Either path will get you there. And Susie, before we get into today's topic, which is economic development, I wanted to talk about this Wednesday show and what we have laid out for the next several weeks. We're going to be focusing on the coming primary election, and we're going to be talking with candidates in each of the contested primary races. Now, there's a lot of races that are not actually contested in the primary. The parties don't have any opponents. But next Wednesday, we're going to be talking with the two Republican candidates for Bonney County Commissioner District 3. That's Dan McDonald and Louie Rich. We'll be talking with them next Wednesday, April 13th. The following Wednesday, there's a contested race for Idaho State Representative in Legislative District 1B. That's the seat held by the Republican Sage Dixon. Sage is unopposed in the primary, but there are two candidates for Democrat. That's Bob Vicarious and Stephen Howlett, and we're going to have them in here. That's April 20th. And then the following weeks, we're going to cover the other three races that are contested in the primary for Bonner County Commissioner District 2, for Bonner County Sheriff, and for Idaho State Senate Legislative District 1. Those all have contested races on the Republican side. And actually, some of these races are going to be decided in the primary because there are no Democratic opponents. Specifically, the two Bonner County Commission races and the Sheriff's race will be decided with this primary election. So it's a rather important election, and we hope to help inform the voters by getting the candidates in here to talk about where they stand on the issues.
Yeah, and thanks, Chris, for setting up all the appointments for these Wednesday morning shows. And we're calling this, primary race 2016.
There you go. That's a good
Election Central.
That's a fine name for it. Okay. Yeah, we actually still need to set up the dates for some of these. But again, next week, we're with Bonner County Commissioner candidates for District 3. The following week, on April 20th, we'll be with the Idaho State Representative District 1 seat. So I hope folks will tune in and put us on the calendar mm-hmm. for every Wednesday now.
And if they have questions for our guests, they can always send us an email or call us at 265-2992. And go to our Facebook page and like us, and you'll get updates on who our guests will be each Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday.
As well as our website, of course, at KRFY.org. And again, we do ask for people to send in questions for candidates. So if you have a question you want to ask any of the candidates in these races, go to our website, email us a question, and we'll ask it on the air. We are going to stick to issues, so it needs to be an issue-oriented question. And with that, let's talk about the issue of economic development. Again, we have with us Paul Cusci with Bonner County EDC. Paul.
Right. Morning, Chris.
And Wally Jacobson. He's the executive director of the Panhandle Area Council. Thank you both for coming in. Paul, why don't we start with you? The Bonner County EDC has been around now since 2000. Actually, we know that. But tell us a little bit about the history of the group and what your mission is.
The group was, as you said, formed in 2000, you know, by interested business leaders, you know, from Coldwater Creek to Lighthouse to UNICEF, you know, a whole group of them got together because of the loss of jobs that was going on within the community, as well as the need to attract, you know, new, good paying, you know, good industry to the Bonner County area. Yeah.
And it kind of went quiet for a while, for a couple of years, but it's got new energy, it seems like.
Yeah, it's funny that Wally and I are sitting here together because both of us are brand new to our jobs in 2015. Yeah. I retired from Lighthouse in January of 2015, took off and went cruising with my wife, and then had done some evaluation work with the EDC, and then they asked me to come in and see if I could help them, you know, bring it on board, and rebuild the funding, rebuild some membership, and as well as manage and help support projects from Priest River to Clark Fork to Ponderay Kootenai, and in Sandpoint. So there are a lot of activities going on.
Yes, and you are a nonprofit organization?
Yeah, we are a 503c6 corporation.
Okay.
So we are a nonprofit.
Okay. And you have a board of directors?
We have a board of directors, yep.
And those are individuals that are involved in business
in
town.
It includes Washington Trust Bank, Wells Fargo, Lighthouse, Avista, you know, go down the list. I'm trying to, Columbia Bank, Bonner General Health, the University of Idaho, you know, there's a number of individuals on the board. Wally sits on our board ex officio because of his nonprofit status. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And we work together, you know, throughout this county, and he works with people in five counties.
His all of yours is more of an umbrella organization.
Yes. I mean, we cover the five northern counties. Maybe I can just jump into a little bit. Panhandle Area Council, which we refer to as PAC, has been around since the 70s. And it started as a planning organization, but it's our membership consists of the cities and counties of the five northern counties. So we have representatives on our executive board. For example, here in town, Aaron Qualls sits on our board. Our focus was planning back in the 70s, but in the 80s, we switched to economic development. And as part of that process, we've got three areas that we cover. We do grant writing and administration for cities and counties. So we help cities and counties pursue both federal and state grants. On the business side, we have six loan programs, and we work with Paul up here to looking for potential businesses who might be able to use those loan programs. And our loan programs are a little different than what the banks are. We typically partner with a bank. So we're working with businesses who are nearly bankable or maybe don't qualify for a bank loan. And so that's one area. And then the third area we do is down in Hayden, we operate the Entrepreneur Hub, which is an incubator system that we've had going since probably 30 years now. Probably the longest running rural incubator in the country, I'd guess. There we have eight companies that occupy that space. So PAC has been involved in economic development, and Paul and I tried to tag team, particularly here in Bonner County, looking for those potential clients, cities, county infrastructure. And we've been pretty active. I mean, Paul I know worked for Lighthouse way back when, but that was actually a client of PAC probably 25, 30 years ago.
When Lighthouse was getting started.
Yes. Yeah. And when it actually spelled the name differently. I don't want to age PAC, but, maybe Leadlock, which is now Graphic Controls. I mean, you could go down the list, but we've been involved, and we're just really pleased to have Paul, heading up the Bonner EDC here again, getting that spark plug fired up again.
Mm-hmm. So there's a plethora of things to talk about, but let's talk about what you could do. Let's say a person is listening who is entrepreneurial. They have an idea for a business. They're not quite sure how to get the business going. What I perceive is that there are often people that are good tradespeople. Maybe they have good skills and they know how to do something really well. They can leverage that into starting a business, but they don't have a business background. What kind of resources are available for those types of individuals?
So I get, that kind of a question, Chris, I get to plug one of our partners, and our biggest partner for small business startup entrepreneurial activities is the SBDC, the Small Business Development Center, which is, down in Post Falls. It's a state program. Their actual headquarters is out of Boise. A gentleman by the name of William Jung, runs the Post Falls office. They have a team of consultants who can do one-on-one, support for startup businesses. I just did that yesterday morning with a gentleman out of Naples who wants to start a barbecue business. Mm-hmm. I can do it. My background in marketing and 43 years in the food business, I can help him. But it's really better that he work with a coach. Someone who is, doing startup consulting on a full-time basis. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of my time, working with the State Department of Commerce on major financial issues, tax reimbursement incentives for new businesses, large businesses that are coming in, people who can spend, are going to spend, $2-3 million,
The Small Business Development Center, based out of Coeur d'Alene there, I think they're associated with NIC as well, right?
Right.
And I happen to know personally, because I do have run my own small business. They have a whole bunch of useful courses you can sign up for. But they also, as you mentioned, Paul, they have coaches.
Yes.
And they'll assign somebody to sit down with you and dive into the specifics of what your business idea is and how to get it going. Or if your small business is struggling, they'll take a look at what your business processes are and try to help you with some ideas on way to improve your business.
Yeah. And I am more than willing to sit down with anyone interested in starting up a business, who has questions about their business, who wants to pick my 43 years of experience, and it's all free. You know, we don't charge for that. I'm available.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of fees and costs, this person in Naples that wants to start a barbecue business, for example, and you hook them up with a small business development center in Post Falls, what kind of output is this? A free service, and how are they paid?
Well, they're a state funded organization. It is a free service, you know, and they have a plethora of tools. You know, if you want to sit down and write a business plan or a marketing plan, they've got an outline. They can help guide you through it. They're not going to write it for you. They're going to make you do it, but they'll give you the tools and guide, you know, to do that. It's a tremendous service.
So start to get your mind thinking in business terms, yes, so that your business has the potential to actually flourish and grow and develop. So another question, can it be a small kind of cottage industry from that to a large thought of something bigger like Cachava or something?
Well, I would tell you that our famous brewery, Laughing Dog, started working with the SBDC, and they were very supportive in helping them get their focus, get their business plans put together so that Laughing Dog could grow and become the brand that they are today.
And would you say they are successful?
Yeah.
I mean,
right,
I would.
Very much. They're very, very successful.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter if it's small or big.
No.
You know,
yeah.
We're there. They can help.
I'd probably just add one other thing with the Small Business Development Center. They also are supported by the Small Business Administration, so they do get some federal money to help support that program as well. And PAC, we don't provide the counseling either. Yesterday, I just had someone walk in, and we also send them over to the SBD Center over in Post Falls. But what happens is sometimes if they come back and they're looking for a loan, then we find ourselves getting involved in the counseling, because as part of that process of due diligence in the loan application, you're basically counseling for free.
So Wally, let's expand on that a little bit. You mentioned you have six different loan programs that you work on through with PAC. So if I'm an entrepreneur, I got an idea for a business, and it's notoriously difficult to get startup money through a conventional loan unless mm-hmm. you're putting your house on it, and a lot of course entrepreneurs do that. What kind of loan programs exist?
Well, and, you know, again, the term startup scares everyone from bankers to whoever. Because we, you know, as a startup, we prefer that you've already, you know, taxed up, you know, maxed out your credit card, and you've got some skin in the game. We don't typically will provide a loan to anyone that's just starting up. Hey, I've got an idea. I'm here today. We'd like to see them in business probably for at least a year, maybe have one or two customers.
And improve the business concept.
Yeah, improve it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And prove the concept that they have customers. And then under that scenario, we have microloans that range from $5,000 to $25,000 that would probably fit in that category. If there are maybe a company that's been around for 2 or 3 years and have some more sales and 5-10 employees, we've got some other programs. We've got 3 revolving loan funds that basically were started back in the 80s by the federal government. They gave basically a grant. Here's a pot of money. It was, I think, about $400,000. And basically what we do is we lend out of that pot, but then when it's paid back, it's just revolved through. And so we manage that. And that would be another source. And some of our larger sources, and I'll just throw it out, we also do the SBA 504 program, which is primarily for bigger loans. If somebody's
from the Small Business Administration.
Yep, SBA sponsors that. We're a certified development corporation, which allows us to offer this. We basically partner with a bank. Again, PAC partners with banks quite often. And this allows us to, I think our largest loan out of that was almost, and it's not small business, but our portion was close to $3 million. Mm-hmm. And then the bank came in with probably another 4 on a project. Again, small businesses can range from one person shops to, if you go by the SBA definition, it can go up to 500 employees, I believe. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just, in hearing about these loans, small business could find themselves in lean times with the prospect of recovery. that would be a time that they could come and visit PAC to see if it's viable to give them one of those revolving loans to get them through that lean time.
Yes, I mean, we've looked at that. Again, PAC also has, you know, we have our criteria for our borrowers as well, but it's typically a little lower than some of the hurdles that the banks might have. But mm-hmm. yeah, that's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, we've come from the recession and there's been steady improvement. I think everybody would agree to that. But where do you think we stand right now in the, let's talk about the local economy, Paul. How do you judge us doing locally? And then, you know, the kind of the regional, I'd be interested in your thoughts on that, Wally.
Yeah, the Bonner County area is growing and is growing, you know, quite well, you know. We are an aerospace center of focus, which is really critical as we look to the federal government for additional fund and support. So with Quest, with Tamarack, with AeroSat, with you know the Timberline helicopter, mm-hmm. and all the industries that support our growing aerospace you know, industry up here, that's really helped. Obviously, Cochabamba is a major new player for us, brings a whole new quality of jobs into the area, and we're ecstatic to have them here. We love the commitment that they have to the community, and I think really everybody needs to understand that businesses that relocate or are here in Bonner County are here because the owners want to be in Bonner County, want to be in Sandpoint, want to be in Priest River, you know, because if you really looked at the economics, as I have from Lighthouse point of view, of, you know, trucking grocery products halfway around the U.S., you know, out of Sandpoint, Idaho, you'd tell yourself you're nuts.
So we actually have a disadvantage because we're in a rural, isolated community. And I probably we even have a disadvantage in Sandpoint compared to even, say, Post Falls, or Coeur d'Alene, which is right on an interstate, easier access to the airport.
Well, I would say perhaps, but I guess going with what Paul was saying about the aerospace industry, I mean, we've got that cluster up here, and we're looking at potential grants for infrastructure. The Economic Development Administration likes us to talk about clusters, and there's a cluster up here in the Sandpoint Priest River region, but it also ties down into Coeur d'Alene Post Falls and into, you know, the Spokane Valley. So when you start putting together a story like that, that helps this whole area because that whole cluster is growing here, and that's a real plus. But yeah, we have some more advantages in terms of if you're next to the interstate. We've seen movement from Eastern Washington over to Idaho for various reasons, the lower cost, and they are starting to populate around the interstate down there.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Cochabamba, and Cochabamba is a company that writes software that measures provides marketing metrics for marketers that are using mobile technologies.
Correct.
And it's a little hard to get your head around that if you're not in that world.
Yeah.
But it's a high-tech company. I mean, they're definitely it's internet-based, basically. And they're on a growth spurt right now.
Absolutely, they continue to add employees, expand space. You know, people may not realize that they're going to be moving their operations into the Inkwell building downtown.
The old Inkwell building, which is like its second in church, I think. Yeah,
about mm-hmm. second church, right?
Yeah. They're taking over that whole building, or most of it.
I don't know the details. Right. I just know that they're making an investment in that building to want to be downtown. One part of their culture for their employees is to be able to be downtown and to get out for lunch and get out for coffee and do collaboration, you know, on the sidewalk at a coffee table.
Right, right. And actually, I heard Charles Manning, he's the founder, speak to that. Because in high-tech companies, you take a look at Google or Microsoft, they have these fabulous campuses where employees can, you know, hang out in break rooms or they have, you know, food available to them and they have workout places. And in Charles's view was that Sandpoint downtown is his campus, his whole campus. And it's actually an interesting view, and it's actually good for that, for the downtown, right? Because it's right. By the proximity to all those employees, the other local businesses can flourish by providing food and coffee.
Very much.
Yeah. And we have a lot of places now to work out around town. There's that as well.
Just a reminder, this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Chris Bessler and Susie Prez are your hosts this Wednesday, April 6th morning, and this is The Morning Show.
And we're speaking this morning with Paul Cushy with the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation, as well as Wally Jacobson with the Panhandle Area Council. And we're talking about economic development. So there are some kind of big things that are percolating right now, Paul, in Sandpoint specifically. I'd say one of the biggest is we're on the verge, it appears, of having a fiber optic internet network set up.
Yeah, with the introduction of Ting, you know, to the community, you know, there is the potential for a gigabyte community. Just like Google communities are a big deal in the U.S. In fact, I was coming through Salt Lake City last week, and Google, they're now going into Salt Lake, and the advertising for the Google community was huge. Well, Ting does the same thing, only it works on a smaller community level, you know, tier two community. They have interest in bringing in a gigabit service, you know, to the Bonner County metro area, you know, Dover, Sandpoint, Ponderay, Kootenai, you know, and they've been meeting with the city. They've actually stuck their heads in manholes and looked around to understand what the city's project is for, you know, for fiber, so they are interested. The process has been going on since I joined the EDC last May.
It's been years of work to get fiber optic.
Yeah, there was
internet.
There was a failed effort about 5 years ago, and then it kind of went quiet. The city stepped up to put in a loop. City county actually combined have stepped up to put in a loop.
And that's required actual laying conduit down in the streets, right. Which people can see along Church Street. And there's actually a map that's available, I think, on the city website.
And why is it a good thing to bring in a gigabyte to Sandpoint area? This is someone who's not in that knowledge. You know,
attracting companies like Cochava that have a huge tie to to the internet world and to technology. And so one of the first questions that I get from businesses that have called up and say, tell me about Sandpoint. They want to know about internet fiber. They want to know whether they can, how kind of service they've got. They want to know about schools. They want to know about housing, and they want to know about the employee base. Those are the four big questions that I get to answer almost every day, from whether they're in an RFI from the State Department of Commerce, you know, or whether they're a phone call coming across the transom that says, you know, I'd like to locate my business there. What can you tell me about the area?
And so the more gigabytes that we have available in this community means that their industry, their business may need that higher speed. Is it higher speed or more capacity?
Yes, it's speed. The gigabyte refers to the throughput of the system. It's like instantaneous internet, basically. Yeah. It's that fast.
Bigger pipe.
Think about communicating about water flow. Mm-hmm. It's like a giant pipe versus a little garden hose.
Okay, so no downtime, no slow times. It's always fast.
Well, there can always be downtime in any of these networks. I don't think anybody's going to promise 100% uptime, but when it's running, and it they have very good reliability, actually. We're actually right on a point of presence for the fiber backbone. It comes along the railroad tracks, and it's been there for many years, and that's what Bonner County EDC has worked on for many years, is how do we access that? And there's a lot of expense involved. The city finally has stepped up to say, okay, we're going to help lay out the infrastructure, and Ting would be the partner that pulls the wires through and lights it up and provides a service to the end users. And I'm going to be one of those end users, I'll tell you right now. Okay.
So you signed up. Is there funding to do this for a community to hook into that line? Is there federal funding? Because it, you know, really brings the community to another level.
So the one of the advantages of Ting is they have private funding to do it. So they are, that's one of the nice pieces.
And to address that, actually, Susie, there was a big effort to get federal funding, and it didn't succeed. It's competitive to get the funding. Obviously, a lot of small cities are trying for it, but Sandpoint didn't get it. So it needed to have a private partner.
Yeah, and PAC kind of tried to pursue that here a few years ago. There was quite a bit of funding, and everyone was after it. And once that funding kind of got awarded, there hasn't been too much since then.
I think one of the things that you'll see in the community is because we have other services between Frontier and Northland Hub, you know, they have their services, and I think you'll see them all stepping up the game, you know, and competition is great. This is a free enterprise world, and we'd love to see everyone, you know, benefit across the county. And I think that's, you know, Ting is a fiber to home focused company. They really want fiber out into the communities. And, you know, I use myself as a good example. You know, I live up just north of the airport in full sight of the Montana and everything else. And, you know, I have to use a Verizon MiFi, and I have two dots on a good day, you know, and I am literally 2 minutes from downtown.
Yeah.
I use that as an example every time I talk to people.
So the benefits are far-reaching. When this happens, it sounds like everyone's benefit to make it happen.
It actually could be this summer. And, but Ting does need a minimum number of people on board before they're going to proceed with this. And it's important if we have listeners out there that, you know, they think that they're interested in getting this super fast internet. It's important actually to get signed up, and they're asking like a $9 commitment to say, you know, I'm on board with it. But if they don't get enough people signing up, then they're not going to be able to pull it off. And Paul, do you know what the status of that is?
They won't tell us the count. They just keep telling us that we're progressing, you know, and they actually haven't given us a specific number, which is in contrast to what Google does, because Google says we have to have X million homes or whatever it is in order to launch the program. Mm-hmm. You know, Ting has said we want to support you. Let's see what happens. So I look at it as a vote. Go on, sign up wherever you are. I don't care if you're in Bottle Bay, Sagal, you know, Sandpoint, Dover, you know, Kootenai, wherever you are, just go sign up and vote with $9. If they don't come, you get your $9 back.
Oh, well, there you go. It's just a down payment.
It's a down payment, mm-hmm. and it's an opportunity to show the need. And if they see the need, then they're making the commitment to come do it.
So where would you go and do this voting?
Actually, there's you could Google Ting Internet and find information about it. But I know that on Sandpoint Online, we have a link off to Ting that goes right to the Sandpoint page on sandpointonline.com. You can connect up that way for sure.
Yeah, ting.com/Sandpoint.
So okay. Ting is the best hope here to bring
optics. You know, the best hope, it is a new hope. Uh-huh. You know, the best hope really will depend on where you live and what kind of services are going to be supplied by all the carriers as competition increases. And I think that's to me is what's critical. I love Ting and love them dearly, but it's, you know, raising competition is really all about free enterprise. And if we can drive the economy by growing our total internet access, we are all better off.
So Ting doesn't take over the whole picture.
No,
they're not the main players. They can be an option for businesses.
They're become an option because all the current options that are out there.
There's where competition makes a difference.
Yeah, and it'll drive the price down. And I think that's an issue that we see is, you know, folks are coming over here from Seattle, Portland. You know, they're used to gigabytes and they're used to it cheap. They come over here and they don't have it, and it's not cheap.
Yeah.
And so that's the driver, because they all pull up and they've got four phones and a computer and what? You can't be hooked up? What's going on?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way business runs now. Yeah, I suggest, Susie, it's time to take a little musical break here. But there's a ton more to talk about. Again, we're in the studio here with Paul Cushy of Bonner County EDC and Wally Jacobson of Panhandle Area Council. We're talking about economic development. I got about, I don't know, a lot more questions I'd like to explore with you guys. But let's give our guests a breather here.
Okay, and we can regroup. Guess whose birthday it is today? Well,
you were playing his music earlier.
It's Merle Haggard's birthday. He was born in 1937. And this is a collaborative song with Don Henley. And it's kind of got a nice title. It's called The Cost of Living. And this is Merle Haggard. Happy birthday. Happy 79th birthday, Merle Haggard. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is The Morning Show.
Everyone,
and that was Don Henley and Merle Haggard, The Cost of Living. And this is 88.5 KRFY, and we're tuned in live today for The Morning Show with Chris and Susie and our guests.
And our guests are Paul Cushy with the Bonner County EDC and Wally Jacobson with the Panhandle Area Council. We're talking about economic development. And Paul, you mentioned a few things that I wanted to explore just a little bit, that businesses that are looking to locate here or grow here are concerned about certain things that the community offers, one of them being schools and education, another being housing, another being employee base, having enough potential employees when they need to hire. How are we stacking up on these fronts here in Sandpoint? Because we're a small community.
I would say that it's a vicious circle. You really want to put jobs and employees and housing together in a big circle. It takes jobs to attract employees. It takes housing to supply them. And, you know, Sandpoint did not overbuild during the economic downturn, so our supply of affordable housing is not tremendous. It needs to be rekindled. There are some people looking at doing affordable housing and getting ourselves into a point where we can attract some people. There's some projects that are in the works to look at building additional housing, you know, complexes downtown to attract, you know, the city dweller, mm-hmm. people who like to be downtown. Mm-hmm. So it's restarting, you know, but it is an issue, and I think, you know, it really shows itself with Quest. We've been working with Quest for the last 6-7 months on a van pool program, and they will be launching a van pool for their employees in combination with Spot, you know, Spot being
the Spot bus system.
Mm-hmm. You know, that Spot's going to be leasing the bus and doing the training and doing the maintenance and support of the bus for, you know, for Quest, so that they can bring, you know, 15-20 you know, employees up from Coeur d'Alene. It allows them to go recruit in the Coeur d'Alene, you know, Post Falls area, because the employees then could pool together at the bus center there, in, you know, in Coeur d'Alene, and then come on up. As well as, it's a great economic advantage. For the employee, you can recruit, but if they're going to spend all those dollars driving back and forth, you know, you almost have to pay them a higher wage
exactly.
to recruit them. But getting them into the van pool is going to be a great activity. I think van pools coming into Sandpoint, you know, Bonner County area, are going to be more and more a huge economic driver, you know, for us.
It's going to open up our employee base for potential employers.
Yeah, and I think that's, we only have about 5% unemployment in Bonner County. And if you really look at 5% unemployment, that's not very many people.
Yeah, I think they consider 3% full employment, because mm-hmm. there's always some people that are in flux between jobs. And the conundrum from us, for us, I must assume, is that being a small community, when you have a small unemployment, that means the specialized types of skills you might need to hire for are harder to find potential employees.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How about schools? There's a couple things to talk about there. One is our public school system, which actually is just about to approve a big plant facility levy that our voters are going to have to decide on, and keeping our public school system, which has been doing great. It's really has been a high-achieving district in the whole state, keeping that healthy, but also the potential for a higher education with North Idaho College.
Yeah, I think, you know, our public schools are great, and they are growing, and they are doing well. We have been working with NIC to get stronger presence of, you know, of secondary education, you know, the community college level, college level, up here in the Sandpoint, you know, Bonner County area, you know, and we continue to work on it. It is one of the items that's on my list of priorities as we for economic development. And I think, you know, Wally can talk about the new computer science piece.
Yeah, I mean, I was just down at the meeting yesterday, and you know, everybody's pretty excited about University of Idaho. It's got a 4-year program in computer science. It's going to be in the Coeur d'Alene area, but still, that's closer to Sandpoint than Moscow. So that's great news, because the Cochavas of the world are going to be looking for those technology backgrounds, and if we can start developing that stream down in Coeur d'Alene with UI and NIC and bringing them up here. And I'd also segue into what Paul said about NIC. I mean, he's been pushing to get more NIC presence up here, but, you know, they're embedded in over at Aeroset. Actually, NIC has their aerospace program. They've actually, instead of having their students or their workers go down and get training down at NIC, they've actually put a little program right inside of Aeroset. So we're coming up with creative ways to meet some of those training needs.
Mm-hmm. And as pertains to NIC specifically, there's going to be a point at which Bonner County is going to have to decide if they want to get in the college district. Right now, NIC basically is supported by taxpayers in Coeur d'Alene or Kootenai County.
Kootenai County.
Yes.
A third of their revenue is from the college district, a third from, you know, state, and I've forgotten the other third. But it's important. You know, I spent time with the president of NIC and asking that question directly. What's it take for you to get more programming going on in Bonner County? And he said, join the college district, get the county to step up and do that.
And that's going to be something that's talked about and might end up needing to be decided by the folks here if they're willing to make that investment in the community, and not just the community, but individual young people. You hear it all the time that young kids grow up here, but they can't stay here because there's no employment for them, right, or their educational opportunities are limited. And if we want to provide pathways for them, then we're going to have to, you know, provide an educational system and an employment base that'll do it.
Absolutely.
Let's circle back on another specific program that the Bonner County EDC has at least helped facilitate. And there was a story in the Daily Bee just on Sunday about a state program. I think you referred to it as 602NN Pod. Tell us what that is. It's a program to provide tax advantages for businesses.
Yeah, every time we work with existing businesses or even new businesses coming in, they ask, what's in it for me? What can you get me? In 2008, the state legislature passed 603-602NN, which is a property tax exemption statute. It allows the county tax to exempt businesses, manufacturing businesses, for new buildings, remodeled buildings, and equipment, you know, where they're actually raising the property tax value beyond, you know, of the land. Land's not included. But that benefit, the county can give them a tax exemption for up to 5 years, assuming they meet all the criteria. And it's, you know, it's been laying there for a while. And, you know, when I got on board, I, you know, found it and started working with our commissioners and our assessor and said, you know, we got to get this out on the board. And that's what that article's about, is that they now have the process in place. I appreciate the work from all the commissioners and from our assessor to get the process in place, because Quest is out there building a brand new building. You know, they can take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. AeroSet's looking at building a new building over in Priest River. They can take advantage of it. If Tamarack grows, you know, starts growing and starts adding hangar space, they can take advantage of it. Lighthouse has been sitting there at the end of Ellis Street for who knows how long. They need to remodel and bring in new equipment and stuff, and they can take advantage of it.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's an inducement to grow your business here or bring a business here. And
I think it is, you know, to grow it maybe 2 or 3 years faster than you might have. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, eventually you get a 5-year window of reduced tax, but that tax base then comes online 3 years earlier or whatever.
It actually ends up being a benefit to the tax, to the other taxpayers.
And it goes right along with the state's, we call it TRI, but tax reimbursement incentive. So in a rural county like we are, we can, if you are adding 20 jobs in the next couple of years, you know, you can actually apply as an existing business for tax reimbursement incentive. You know, and this, it gives you reimbursement from payroll tax and all these other bunch of other taxes, you know, and it's a state program. And so we combine that with property tax, with other programs to try and build incentives for businesses to come into town. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be running out of time here pretty soon. I thought I'd just throw it open if Paul or Wally, if you have specific things you want to bring up on what Bonner County EDC or Panhandle Area Council is working on right now. Anything you wanted to mention?
There's a laundry list, probably 20, 25 items, you know, on my executive board, you know, board meeting agenda. Mm-hmm. You know, most of those are confidential because we haven't inked them in fast enough. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that there are, I added it up one day and I think there's the potential of another 600-700 jobs that could come into Bonner County.
Just with deals that are kind of hanging
there
right now.
Just with things that are hanging around out there right now. And I think that's critical. You know, those are critical jobs, but that also puts more pressure on labor, which means we're going to have to go figure out how to recruit more people and build more houses. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, again, it's kind of the cluster. I mean, I think that's what, you know, pops up to me, you know, Sand Point, Priest River, Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls. It's all coming, growing together, not only physically, but with these jobs. There's a lot of folks from Sandpoint going down to Post Falls up here in the aerospace industry. So it's becoming that cluster, and that's a good thing because, again, like I say, from the federal government standpoint, they like the concept of cluster. Okay, that's a new term. So let's leverage and put some money into those types of projects.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say this discussion has been very interesting and informative to me, and we'd love to have you come back because this is the kind of thing that knowing about it, you know, kind of creates a thought in your about how our community is and how it can grow, not just grow boom, but grow thoughtfully. And I think that's really exciting, and we'd love to keep hearing about these updates and have you back again.
Keep the dialogue going. Paul, if somebody's interested in supporting the Bonner County EDC, you do have businesses that you're not funded by.
Yeah, we are funded by businesses. We have board of director positions, and we have just sustaining membership positions, and those are the dollars that drive our business. And if you're interested, you can reach me at Bonner County EDC. .com.
That's the website, and there's a link there to email you. That's, again, www.bonnercountyedc.com.
Right. Come through, or my email is prcushy@bonnercountyedc.com, and that's you can get me directly if you don't want to go through the website.
And you can actually also sign up for a newsletter. You're getting a newsletter out periodically now to keep people apprised of what's going on. So, and that's no cost.
Yeah, and we have our, in November, we'll have our big economic summit again, what's happening up north. will be on November 3rd. We're actually going to focus on healthcare, and on a broad basis, mm-hmm. And talk about some of our healthcare industry, partners here in town, Thorne and Biomedical Innovations, as well as UNICEF, people like that who are here.
In Bonner General itself,
Bonner General Health will be a major player mm-hmm. in that piece too.
Uh-huh. And that's you mentioned what's happening up north. Your first one of those economic summits was held last fall, and it was a kind of a standing room only event.
Yeah, we were 150, 160 people.
And you wanted 120.
That's okay. We just opened the door and said, "Come on in." We fed a free lunch and had some fun, and we got to use the Coldwater Creek Auditorium. With that L3M is now turning yes. into a center, and I think that's a great place, for presentations like this.
Yep, I guess an asset to the community as well.
Absolutely.
While anything for way to people for people to interact with Pan Out Lyric Council.
Well, we've got a website, of course, pacni.org, or you could email me at wjacobson@pacni.org.
Okay.
That would probably be the best way, but we'd definitely be available for questions and responding. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We're out of time, but we really thank both of you, Wally and Paul, for coming in and informing us and inspiring us to how our community is doing, which really is exciting. I want to remind everyone that to save the date, May 6th, the Little Smokies Bluegrass Band, fresh from their first place band competition win at Telluride Bluegrass Festival, is coming to the Panada May 6th. They're performing a KRFY Community Radio Benefit Concert. Save the date, May 6th. Get your tickets now at Evans Brothers Coffee, Pedro's, Eichhardt's, KRFY. You can call us here, 265-2992, or online at panada.org. That's the Little Smokies, along with special guests, local Doug Bond and Terry Ludeker. It's our spring concert, and we're going to hear a Little Smokies song to go out. We're done for the day here. Tune in again tomorrow for the Thursday edition of The Morning Show with Jack Peterson.
And remember to come back next week. We're kicking off our series of election coverage with the Bonner County Commission candidates for District 3. So that will be a very interesting conversation.
Very sure. interesting. I can't wait. And here is the Little Smokies song called California. Have a great day.
Bye now.